says things that he or she thinks are helpful, when in effect they have the opposite impact on the kid they're talking to, all right? And then there's the intentional disinviter, and that's the teacher who should never work with anything organic. Everything they touch dies. And hopefully there are not many of those in our profession, but we can all point to one or two who did whatever he or she could do to find what you were not good at and never let you forget they found it.
Mm-hmm.
So Bill Perkey talks about how everyone in the school, from the custodians to the school secretaries to the cafeteria people to the teachers and principal, everyone is one of these four things. And I think that's so important to remember, that when a kid is in a school, every person to them is a teacher.
Mm.
They may not say that directly, and the younger ones especially see this as true. But if you're somebody who just feels you're in a place that is comfortable and you're accepted for who you are, it goes beyond the teacher. It goes to every person who you interact with during that day.
Mm-hmm.
And since our kids in school spend as much time with us as educators as they do with their parents, at least waking hours, that's why it becomes so vital to look at these intentional inviters and basically try to get as best we can to everyone in the school to be one of those things.
I think parents are often not quite sure where to go as far as addressing social and emotional skills at home, even though that's naturally what they are doing pretty much day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
Are there certain things that you feel like parents should be aware of with their kids, or steps that they could take even at home to support those social and emotional needs?
As adults, we are trying to be problem solvers. So our kid comes home with an issue at school, whether it's with a classmate, you know, with a teacher, with a test, whatever, and we immediately try to find solutions. And I think that's the wrong place to go. I think where you go instead is just listen. We do so much talking as adults to kids. Well, have you tried this? Have you done that? What have? Instead, we just need to tell me more about it. I'd like you to explain, how did you feel when that person said this? We really need to do more listening and less talking. And I like to say, and again, I was a university professor, so I'm used to talking. If we could listen 75% of the time and talk 25% of the time, I think we'd really benefit our kids a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my key, is not to run to find a solution right away, because we might be trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist. What you do instead is you listen, you ask questions, you reflect back with things like, well, it really must have hurt when she said that to you. Or you mustn't, sounds like you didn't feel very good about yourself after you got your math grade back. Those kind of comments, which are more, as I said, reflective rather than solution-based, are the beginning of solutions. But when we run headfirst into the solution finding, we may be doing an unintentional disservice by not really understanding what the issues are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might not be the grade at all. It might be that the kid was singled out as having a bad grade. And so the grade seemed like the problem, but it was the situation in which the whole event occurred.
Yeah.
So parents, be more quiet and listen a little bit more than you do.
It's so natural to, like you said, want to try to solve those problems.
Sure.
Every parent wants to rescue their child and protect them from any of those uncomfortable feelings. But it's hard to step back and both allow them to come to us, allow them to share their feelings, allow us not to